On a visit to London, I boarded a bus, one of the double-floored red beauties that colour the London traffic and charms you into stratospheric delusions when you sit on the top floor. But I was soon brought down to earth in a hurry without a parachute. The bus signs clearly indicated its route, so I sat back expecting to get to my destination with a lot of time to spare, right? Wrong. I jump in on a promise, but along the way the driver announced that he had been instructed to make the next stop his last stop, and so everybody jump out. I was in the middle of nowhere being a visitor, and in the dark of night had to find an expensive taxi to bail my way out. This is something like what happens to we the people when the promises of politicians suddenly melt and we are on our own in the dark, feeling our way. Whitey Kubuli, called Dominica by Columbus, is an established democratic republic, a little matter that is almost never noticed. That is why we end up with a president rather than a governor general. It takes finance ministers more than an hour and sometimes more than two, goblets of water and a ton of Madam Speaker, yes, Madam Speaker, to report on the state of the republic on budget day. At the end of it, the main thing we the people are interested in is whether there are any new taxes. No new ones? Okay, let God deal with the rest. And then usually find a section of the Bible that agrees with that attitude. In my view, the state of this republic is reflected in the quality and quantity of its human resource base. If mediocrity is in the seed, mediocrity is in the lead, which means disorder eventually triumphs. How high is the sky? Well, a society that cultivates individual achievement raises its sky level significantly. For this reason, I agree with the PM's publicly stated goal of a graduate in every home. However, to get these individuals to come home and stay home is the challenge of governance. A cursory analysis does show that it is the more educated that are leaving, and the common thought coming from them is that the promise of the political directors has soured and offers little to learned folk. What happens when they return? They are mostly sent back to the same old desk they thought they had left behind, under a head or a boss who may suffer from a serious complex of personal underachievement. Then frustration shows up, blighting their productive capacity and enthusiasm. It does not end there, because many of them cannot find a job, and so join the skilled laborers taking a trot out of here without even waiting to put on their sneakers. Or musicians, artists, and entertainers seek answers elsewhere. And only doctors and lawyers find it a fruitful ground, just healing and suing and even running away after ripping off the rest of us. There are those who wish to start their own businesses and find the political mountain too high to climb, and just give up and head for a commuter airport at Melville Hall, hoping Liat will show up on time. While more hotels can bring in jobs for the waiters and cleaners, there will be very few for those who have spent their parents' money as well as their sparse little to get themselves equipped for nation building outside the legal and medical professions. So in this overflow of bleakness, striving to place a graduate in every home will only be adding to this general spill of our human resource into other markets. So in addition to loud independence speeches, we should get to work solving problems. We can reshape our civil service for a start. A credible task force should be set up to immediately look into ways and means of causing this huge pool of talent to be more productive. A lean, mean working machine that with quality inclusions could enhance our movement to a more enlightened working force and would reshape the quality of advice and the substance of decision-making. But truthfully, there are civil servants who could do more, but do not. There are others who have been given political appointments and just feel nobody can touch me because they love their prime minister and he loves them back. One thing is certain, if we continue the way we are, without paying much attention to our human resource and our capacity to produce, and just feel comfortable thinking we can exist only on donor handouts, we have an alarm clock set to blast off soon, and the wake-up call will be too loud for us to bear. But I've said that before, haven't I? I have been gratified by your responses, whether for or vigorously against, and in particular the positive words to me personally on the effort to use vocals for those who are visually challenged. This column is my last in this series, and I hope again to engage your thoughts and very penetrating comments on matters sensitive to us all in a new series in January. Meditate this independent season, and have a good one.